From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
If you think you know what a cucumber is, think again. Spend even 5 minutes on the website of The Cucumber Shop, a passion project of today's Cucumber Mad guest, Jay Tracy, and you'll realize that you don't at all. The incredible diversity of cucumbers is our topic today, but first, this message.
Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top-quality spring-blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com.
California-based Jay Tracy is a teacher and a father of four teens, and also the person behind the collection of exceptional and unusual cucumbers called The Cucumber Shop, a mail-order seed catalog he created about 10 years ago and that evolved into cucumbershop.com in 2019. I'm so glad to welcome him today. Hi, how are you, Jay?
Doing well, Margaret. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to be able to help people discover a cucumber that's been here all along.
Yeah, though all these historic, amazing varieties. So how long have you been collecting cucumbers?
Just to give a little bit of background, since around 2008 was when, 2007 was when my last child was born, and I gave up another hobby for this. And what I decided to do was just try to grow, but I lived in Tucson, and it's very hard to grow in Tucson. So, you can grow some things, but not very much in the middle of the summer. It's very, very hard. Tomatoes are very hard. One thing that grew well were Armenian cucumbers. And so I started probably in about 2008, 2009 to start growing Armenian cucumbers, and I liked them. There was a gentleman named George Brookbank. He was big in the ag and gardening down in Southern Arizona and throughout Arizona. And he told me, why don't you try the serpentine cucumber? So I found what we call the striped Armenian or painted serpent. It's called by a number of names.
Yeah.
It just kind of went from there. I hooked up with some Italian friends. They found my blog, and around 2012, I believe, they found my blog. And then I hooked up with them and started getting more varieties and sending them back seed of fresh seed of things I grow in isolation, and continuing to grow friendships and grow cucumbers and loving it because they're so easy and so fun.
So now I think I counted on the homepage of the website, cucumbershop.com. I think there are 60 offerings or something this year. I mean, there's a lot. It seemed like there were a lot. I don't know how many exactly, but and you grow some of the seed, I think it says. And there's a wonderful informational section of the website that's called the Cucumberpedia. Is that right?
Something like that. Yeah. I'm trying to, that whole thing is the individual varieties that I offer. I'm trying to eventually get around to writing the histories because some of them do have history. Some of the, most of them go back hundreds and hundreds of years. And so these have been grown since like ancient Egypt. And the regular cucumber that we know of from India only came around with the Islamic influence in Spain that brought cucumbers from India through that trade route. And probably the first real evidence they have of those types of cucumbers in literature or drawings is in about 1300. So any reference to cucumbers before then are these things that we're talking about.
Yeah. So most of us think of, and so we can sort of do a little mini minute or two of taxonomy kind of, but most of us think of cucumbers as the long green things in the supermarket, right?
And
or in, on the produce shelf or in pickle jars, smaller versions of pickle jars. And I think that's, is it cucumin? Cumis sativus, is that
Yeah,
right?
sativus, right.
Sativus
Right, yeah.
is the species, and that's Asian, as you said, from India originally, is that correct?
Right, somewhere around there. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
In ancient Egypt and throughout some of the Middle East, we have melon, and this melon is grown immature, or grown to be picked immature is something that has high water content and is crisp yet tender and delicious. And it's what we here in America, a real light long one is called an Armenian cucumber because of the Armenian influence. A
Yeah.
lot of the world would call them snake melons. And then the shorter ones are usually grown mostly in southern Italy, and those are called Carosello. But the
Carousel,
long,
yes.
yeah, the long snake melons are flex are Cucumis melo variety flexuosus or flexuous, and the shorter ones are Edzur or Chait is their variety, but they can all intermingle. I mean, like if you were to grow them side by side, they would
Yeah.
cross.
Yes, because they're promiscuous, those naughty cucumbers.
Yes.
Yeah,
But
but
you can grow these next to regular cucumbers and they won't cross. So
right, so there's these two species. The one that we're more familiar with in the grocery store and the American plate is sativus, the species sativus. That's Asian, and then this mello, MELO, originates in Africa, I think. Is that correct? So is that did you just say Egypt or and
In go ahead.
no. So they come from two parts of the world,
Right.
and they have different, therefore, adaptations to different cultural requirements, I assume, inherent in them. And they just look like you have one picture, at least one on the website, where there's like a big tray of cucumbers, and there's like long ones and twisty ones and tiny little round ones and bigger
Yep.
round ones, and I mean striped ones and solid green ones and spotted ones. It's like amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a whole bunch of diversity. It's almost like, you see a tomato for the first time and you think a tomato is red and round and that's all you think of it.
Right.
And then you see a tray of these, heirloom tomatoes, you see all different things. That's kind of what we've got here. So just to kind of go back as to what these things are, I often refer to them as cucumber melons or melon cucumbers. They're kind of like almost like same as a cantaloupe or honeydew. They're a musk melon, and it's picked like a zucchini. It's picked immature, like just like a zucchini. And a lot of them kind of cluster in the crown of the plant, kind of like a zucchini. And then that first crop, you get a cluster fruit from the middle of the plant, and then later crops you get further on. But so it's a melon that's grown like a zucchini, but you eat it like a cucumber, and it tastes just like a cucumber, except it's
Yeah.
ne never bitter free and easy on the digestion. So
But
that's
it's in the
nice.
same species as a cantaloupe, this
Right.
Cucumis melo. Yeah. A
Yeah.
cantaloupe is in there too. So
Yeah.
that's what, so it's botanically a melon, but as you say,
Right.
agriculturally a cucumber.
Right. Just as tomatoes are,
They're a
are
fruit, but we eat them like a vegetable, sort of, right?
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. So I imagine that as you've networked more and more and made new friends, as you said earlier, and so forth, and people tried your seeds, that, and especially with all the interest in heirloom crops and unusual crops and heritage type crops, I would imagine that some people, there's no going back. They're not going to go back to the plain old, straight green, sativus cucumber. I imagine this is going to catch their attention and they're going to want more and more and more. Is that what's been happening?
So originally it will catch their attention because it's very pretty, but
Yes.
what really makes me continue to grow them is because they're really good. And I have farmer market farmers who I sell to seed to, and I have just regular growers that I sell seed to, and they're like, I can't buy a cucumber from the store anymore. I can't grow English Lebanese cucumbers anymore. I can only grow your stuff because it's so good, which
Right.
is great. But I mean, at the same time, it's like, it is one of the drawbacks. So.
Right. And are these all vining crops, or any of them bush form, or how do they kind of look as a plant?
Yeah. So if we're talking about the snake melons, most of the snake melons are pretty much viney, and several of the Carosello are, but a lot of the Carosello are like, you would think of them, they grow like zucchini in that they're gonna be very bushy, more bushy than regular cucumbers
Okay.
to begin with, very compact. Some of them remain compact throughout their life, but most of them, that first set of fruit, they'll be incredibly compact, and then after you harvest that first cluster of fruit, then they're going to grow out more.
Okay. But other than that, we kind of grow them the same way, and so they're warm season crops, which for those of us in a cooler area than you are, that's probably more important. So they're warm season crops. Do you start them indoors? Do you direct seed them? Are there any other particulars of growing that?
So maybe I could talk about how to care for them and then talk
Yeah,
about
sure.
some pluses and minuses compared to regular cucumbers.
Sure.
After you've gotten some seed, you probably ought to determine when you want to plant. And then they do like it warmer than regular cucumbers, and it's really wise to start by just pre-sprouting or germinating your seed in an ideal conditions. I just put my seed in a folded paper towel and a Ziploc, add a little bit of water and put it, about 80 degrees Fahrenheit. And
Right.
then I check it every 12 hours. And then when it starts to sprout, that's when I put it in either some kind of thing that I'm going to transplant with or in the ground. I like to talk about what the plant needs, and they like the seeds like warm, moist, around 80 degrees. The plants themselves have very sensitive roots, so if you're thinking of transplanting, you're going to have to avoid disturbing the roots. I use soil blocks, that works for me. But the peat pots and netted peat, that doesn't work very well.
Right, it
Just for
pulls the
those of you
roots
out there,
apart. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
not. But the plants generally really like it warm above the ground, and somewhat dry and moist, yet kind of cool below the ground. The hotter it is, day and night, if it's warm nights, they'll just keep growing really well. And then when it comes to the fruit, if you're picking the fruit to consume it, you probably want to pick, if it's any kind of cylindrical fruit, like some of the Carosello, at about 1.5 to 2 inches in diameter. And that's the thing with these, you're looking at the diameter with both the Carosello and the snake melons. You pick it by the diameter, not by the length. And so
Okay.
you don't want it to get too big in diameter, probably 1.5 to 2 inches in diameter. And then the round ones, you're probably looking at 3 to 4 inches. But a lot of them you can let go a little longer. It's just the quality is better at that
Right.
stage.
So I just want to dip back for a second to when you were giving the growing instructions, you're talking about germinating them at like 80 degrees and so forth, and that they're not cold tolerant at all. That we're talking about the species mellow, the ones that are, because a lot of us, we know with sativas, with the traditional cucumbers, we could even direct seed them once we let the soil warm up, whereas these want a little more TLC at the beginning. And then I just want, yeah.
If you're planting in June or July, you can plant straight in the ground, no
Right.
problem.
So, right. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to say is, let's just tell us again, because it's a lot, there's a whole like language to this and so forth. And obviously with the transcript of the show over on awaytogarden.com, we'll have illustration, we'll have photos, and it'll be a lot clearer for people to understand. But snake melons versus Carosello, tell us again who's who a little bit, like describe them a little bit. Yeah.
So snake melons, if you know anything about Armenian cucumbers, that's like a snake melon. You're looking at something that's long and thin, or longer and thinner. And then a lot of the snake melons are world record holders for length, so they get really long. And then the carrot, what we call Carosello, their Cucumis melo variety, Azure or Chait, they are smaller, and they're kind of like these little cylindrical cucumbers, usually cylindrical, sometimes oval, sometimes round, but they're smaller. And the what we're looking for there is texture. I have one variety of the striped Carousel Leccese. It also goes by, in Italy they call it the Melanchella Facciata. It is grown, it was apparently grown for generations for quality and for, just it's amazing what the Italians could do. But really, you're looking for a really nice texture, crisp yet tender, just delicious. So yeah.
So the Carosellos, are they still popular in certain parts of Italy? Are these traditionally grown still, or?
Yes. So that's really neat. So all throughout Europe, most, where they grew all these cucumber melons, they all kind of died off as the new cucumber was introduced. And the new the Indian versus the African cucumber, so the Indian cucumber, it's really good for storage, really good for storage, really good for
The
transport.
skin is kind of tougher, yeah, and that
Yeah,
helps.
yeah, yeah. Especially those older, you grow some of these older Indian cucumbers, and they're made to store. They're, that's what they're there for, is you store them. You can pick them immature, but if you let them sit on the vine later, they can store, and you can eat them later, which is a great thing if if you're dealing with famine or whatever. But if you're dealing with quality, I mean, and if you're dealing with freshness and quality and stuff, I mean, there's no comparison with the other. And one other difference between regular cucumbers and these, besides, the texture and things, you can eat the skin of these. It's real thin skin and real nice, but regular cucumbers will have the spines or something like that. These. A lot of melons have fuzz on them. They call them trichomes, these little tiny hairs. They're really not much, but there are a couple varieties, the Mezzolongos. They grow them specifically to have more hair, more fuzzy. So there is a bit of a fuzz factor, which is kind of fun. But
Oh, interesting. So that's preferred in some cases and some by some people. Oh,
And then
interesting.
there's others that are almost completely hairless. So
Okay,
yeah.
okay. So what are these little things that in recent years that a lot of American garden bloggers and vegetable growers and social media and stuff have gotten excited about are cucamelons, little tiny. They look like a mini tiny watermelon. So what is that one of these things? Does that fit in here?
No, no, no.
Okay,
So
okay.
the cucamelon, or let's see, I don't. So the cucamelon comes from Mexico in that area.
Okay.
There's no relation. I mean, it's a very distant cousin.
Okay.
Personally, okay, I'm gonna say this, and those of you who grew cucamelons may hate me for this, but to me, the taste of it is kind of like a cucumber rind, and the texture is not that great. So, but they do really well if you're going further into the season until your first frost. They can really do well later on in the season when you can't grow other cucumbers or melons. So I'll give them that.
Okay.
And they're cute. They're really cute and fun. They are.
But it doesn't fit into the same species, these
No.
two. Yeah, it's a slightly different animal. It's a cucurbit of some kind, but it's not in the same
Yeah,
world.
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not.
Okay.
It's not. Yeah. I mean, even it's even distantly related to squash as well. I mean, it's kind of out there. Yeah.
I bet you have a cucumber beetle regimen. I bet you have you do have cucumber beetles, I think, even in California, don't you?
I just go out early in the morning when they're still cold, and then if you scare them, or they feel any kind of threat, they'll just drop straight there, because when they're cold, they don't really move a lot, so you just kind of touch them and they drop. And yeah, our cucumber beetles also carry viruses here as well. So I do watch out for them.
So you let them drop into a pail of water, soapy water, a cup of water, something like that.
Yeah, or my hand or whatnot, if there's just a couple. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely early morning while the electric tea kettle is on. I definitely am out there doing that. Yeah, that's important. And it's important because a lot of the cucurbits, that is the reality, depending on what part of the country you're in, they do have pests, you know, squash bugs and cucumber beetles and so on and so forth. Yeah. And so keeping ahead of that is the key, don't you think? I mean, not turning a blind eye, but having a regimen each day to check.
Yeah. So with me and my garden, it's kind of like the garden is a teacher. The garden teaches me what it needs, or you know how it's doing. And the plants kind of, you know, there's this interaction that happens between me and the plants. And what's nice about these is they're pretty forgiving, you know. And they tell, you know, I can kind of watch, you know, as you go out there, it's almost like as you watch the plants day after day, they kind of tell you what they need, and you can, you know, change things up based on whatever the garden needs.
Yeah. So, you know, you're a collector, and whether we're collecting, you know, a particular type of bric-a-brac or, you know, collecting baseball cards or collecting cucumber seeds. I mean, collectors have a passion. They ferret out, you know, the next mother load, you know, networking, as you said at the beginning, making new friends. What is the direction that you're sort of on the hunt for? What are the things you probably read in historical agricultural or food literature? I don't know. Do you like read about these things and go, oh, I hope I can find that someday? Like, is that what happens?
Well, so I do read a lot of, you know, scientific works because there's not a lot out there about these.
Right.
And then I also have a variety from India that's completely different. And this cucumber bleeds red sap, and it's just wild. It's wild. It's pretty neat. And it's actually a cucumber melon like these others, but yeah, it's that one's really neat.
And
but,
you have that you've
yeah
wow. It's
Ara or Ara from India. Yeah it's pretty wild, but as it goes with finding them, really it just comes down to making friendships, making connections. You know, the scientific community has nothing on just the, you know, just the making connections and family and friends and,
right.
and all this. There's several that have varieties that have almost gone extinct, but between me and some other gardening friends, we've been able to keep them alive. There's one of them just was close to extinction, and we brought it back, and I found out that it's parthenocarpic, which means it will set fruit without pollination, which is kind of neat.
Oh.
And then there was another one about 5 years ago that was pretty much extinct. There were none of it left, and some seed was given to a market farmer, and he happened to grow it and eventually be able to pick it out of the ones that he grew, and then now I'm offering that one. And then I also selected one recently myself from the Scopatizo Barise. I selected one that's checkered, and so I just kind of nicknamed that one Chex, and it's really fun, you know. So
the skin is decorative almost, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of got a little bit of a checkered pattern to it.
So yeah. So in the last minute or so, I just wanted to say, what are you, like, for your family, what are the ones that everybody looks forward to? Or are they also sick of eating cucumbers? Like, or do you or your family, does anybody have favorites or the ones to shout out just in the last minute?
Yeah. So, I love the striped carousel lechese. That's my favorite. I love to kind of go back to that every year. And that's kind of my standard for quality and everything else. Yeah, I mean, one of the neat ones I have is a Fucusa. That one, that one's kind of out there. But you know, the striped Armenian or painted serpent's good for later in the fall. They're pretty cold tolerant and disease tolerant. But yeah, the main thing I want to kind of one of the takeaways is you know, these are not necessarily the next superfood or anything, but you know, they're easy to grow, they're gentle on the soil, they're not hard to grow like tomatoes. I mean, for some people, you know, tomatoes can be hard. You know, but they're fun. They're fun, you know, and they're delicious. There's a reason why, you know, ancient, you know, people grew them, and you know, kings wanted them year round and things like that. They're fun and they're delicious and they're great. And if you're looking for something new and fun to try out, yeah, you look into Carousel. They're great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jay Tracy of cucumbershop.com, which is not your main job, but is your love, and it's wonderful. And I'm so glad that we met. I'm so glad that you introduced yourself to me, and I'm having fun learning more about cucumbers thanks to you. So thank you, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Margaret. I really appreciate it. And I hope your garden grows well, too.
Yes, you too.
Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top quality spring blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy seed chopping and gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.